This is Victrios.
I'm glad that it looks like we are kind of getting close to summer. Amen. I'm always saying that anytime I'm here, it looks like I like the temperature. I like to be able to go outside and play soccer and, you know, not wear 10 clothes before and then be taking off the armor when you get to wherever you're going. Amen to Jesus. All right, in this month of April, by the grace of God, God is commanding and saying to us, let there be light. And let me prophetically say to you this evening, let there be light in your life in the name of Jesus. I thought people would say better amen. Let me say it again. Let there be light in your life in the name of Jesus. Because light signifies a lot of good things. Light is God himself. And in fact, in the beginning, when God was going to create the world, the first thing he said was, let there be light. And if you notice later on, which we would kind of look at a little bit, you would discover that it seemed that let there be light was just a first command to clear the road, because God created other kinds of light and started dividing light. So that first statement was just to set things in motion. And I declare over you and over your family, over everything that concerns you in April and going forward, let there be light in the name of Jesus. So tonight, just under that old concept of let there be light, I'm going to talk about commanded to shine. I want somebody to say loud and clear, say, I have been commanded to shine, so I will obey. Say it loud and clear. Say, I have been commanded to shine, so I will obey. Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, we will read verse 1 to 3. Genesis 1, 1 to 3. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 1 to 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Then verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God said, let there be light. There was no negotiation. There was no darkness trying to say, well, light, you met me here. I came here first. This is my seat. Like some of the guys are in my house would say, I was the first person to come to sit down here. Light could not say that. Light had to, darkness could not say that. Darkness had to obey. I'm declaring over your life, anything that represents darkness, darkness are the things, the works of the devil. Sickness is darkness. Not having job is darkness. Wanting a particular sex of baby and not having that baby in your particular case is darkness. I declare in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, let there be light in the name of Jesus. So be expectant for miracles, because when God said, let there be light, the Bible says, and there was light. Because what was making the formlessness happen upon the face of the earth at that time was the fact that there was darkness. And the Bible said, God now declared, let there be light, and there was light. Let's also open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. The Bible says, for God, who said, let light shine out of darkness. So when God was saying, let there be light in Genesis chapter 1, what God was doing was commanding light to shine forth. He was commanding shining to happen. He was making a command that darkness should give way and light should come forth. Bible says here, 2 Corinthians 4, 6, it says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Meaning that the same God that commanded light to shine in Genesis chapter 1 is still the same God commanding light to shine today and shining in your heart. So if you give your life to Jesus Christ, you also have the same command that was given to that light in the beginning. You have the same command to shine. And I declare in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, that command to shine, you will obey this season. So, light was commanded by God from these scriptures that we've seen. Let's also look at this scripture, Matthew chapter 5, 14 to 16. Matthew chapter 5, 14 to 16. Bible says, you are the light of the world. A town or a city built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Whenever you hear the Bible say light, it always represents light with good things. It always represents light with God himself. It always represents light with anything God wants to happen. It represents light with the fact of progress. That means that if God says you are light, that means you are progress. If God says you are light, that means you are supposed to be good. If God says you are light, that means you are supposed to experience everything that comes with light. And whenever you see in the scriptures darkness, darkness talks about formlessness. Darkness talks about void. Darkness talks about the devil. In fact, darkness, I mean, when you want to see in movies, usually when they want to depict a very horror scene, they have to put it in darkness. That's when, in fact, many times horror movies, you can't watch them in the daylight and feel the effect of the whole movie because it needs darkness to be able to perpetrate the horror inside the movie. So darkness is evil. Darkness is horror. And that's why God commanded light to shine. So when God said, let there be light in Genesis chapter 1, let there be light was not a suggestion. Let there be light was not a negotiation. Let there be light was not an advice. You know, I think light is a good thing. So light maybe shine. I think light should come forth. So light maybe light should shine. No, let there be light was a command. It was a command by God that light should shine, whether darkness likes it or yes. And darkness had to bow. And that's why I'm still declaring over somebody listening to me this evening, whether the devil likes it or not, in your life from now on, let there be light in the name of Jesus. So let there be light is a command. It's a decree. God doesn't just speak words. God doesn't just use words. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1, you will see everything God was saying. It was not a suggestion. It was his intention to create. And so when he issues that word, it was a creative thing. And when you now read 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6, scripture is now making us to understand that the same way God commanded that light to shine in the beginning, God is commanding that thing to happen, the same effect to happen to you and I. So by comparison, the way God commanded light in Genesis chapter 1 to shine, that's how God is commanding you to shine. That's why you should not be used to mediocrity. You should not be used to anything that is not the best. You should not be used to anything that is that still has a room to get better. Because by the reason of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6, God has commanded the same light that shone, that the way he commanded light in Genesis chapter 1 to happen to you now. That means as I am now, I'm a light carrier. Whenever I go to work, I should go to work like that. That I know there is darkness at work here. Whenever my children go to school, I should have the consciousness that these people are light carriers. There's darkness in their school. They will influence this place, not the other way around. They will have effect on this place, not the other way around. We will cause a chain here, not the other way around. Because God has not suggested that we should shine. God has not advised that we should shine. God has commanded that
that you shine, and I will obey the commandments of God, because he has commanded that I should shine. Therefore, I will shine.
So let's say a little, some few things about light, and then we'll start looking at how to wrap this together. One of the things you need to understand about light is that light is a force of nature. In fact, it's the very force of nature, because in that scripture that we read in Genesis chapter 1, the first thing God said, let there be light. Why did God not say, let there be the fishes? Let there be the other things? Because the light creates order. Once you turn on light, even in a house, once you turn on the light, it creates order. Sometimes when you are in the house and you turn off the light and everything is dark, you are moody, you are a little nuts. But once light comes on, that's why in the morning, many people are a little more active than they are at night. I know some people are a little different, but generally speaking, most people, when light comes on, it has a way of turning on your mood. It has a way of lifting you up, because it's a force of nature. And this force of nature, the way it best shine is not just by choice, it's by force. It's by the command that God has given it to it. Because God did not suggest that light to just shine by suggestion. God made it to shine by force. Now you need to understand that this light that is a force, and any force that God created, like the force of gravity, every other force that God created in nature, every of the force of God is sustained by the source where that force came from. Every force is sustained from the source. And if it is God that said, let there be light, that means the sustenance of light is from God himself. God is the source. God is the one that actually powers this light. So for you and I to shine, for you and I to be able to fully obey that command, let there be light, or for you to obey that command to shine, you and I must be always connected to the source. I like this scripture, Psalm 4 and verse 6. Psalm 4 and verse 6. The Bible says, it's coming up. Many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? Let the light of your face shine on us. Or what does that mean? If we can connect ourselves to the source of our light, everything that our light is supposed to make us do, we'll be able to do it. Because people are going to be asking, how is he going to succeed? How is he going to prosper? How is he going to do well in a country that he does not know anybody? How is he going to do well in a career that he's just new to? How is he going to do well in a place that is already crowded? You know, sometimes when you find yourself in a job or in some career, you feel like I came too late. Maybe if I had come 5 years ago. Maybe if I've come 10 years ago, maybe if I've come 20 years ago, maybe if I'd come when they are not made too many inventions. But the Bible gives us the way here. It says, how do I shine in a crowded place? How do I shine? How do I stand up? Because you see, when you're talking about shining, you're also talking about standing out. Because sometimes you find there are many people, things shining. There are many things are glowing. But when you stand out, maybe because of the amount of light that you carry, you are different from everybody. And so, how do I stand out? How do I shine? How do I find an exception in a crowded society, in a place that is already occupied, in a society that seems everybody has taken everything before I came? That scripture gives us the way out. Psalm 4 verse 6, it says, many are asking, just like they were asking then, and they are still asking today, how? How will it happen? Who will do it? What's going to change stuff? The answer to that question is connection to the light, or connection to the source of our light. You say, let the light of your face, let you shine on us, rub off on us. Let our association with you lead to the fact that we will carry a piece of you. You know, if you read the story of Moses, when Moses was hanging out with God on Mount Sinai and getting the Ten Commandments,
There was an episode that the Bible said, when Moses showed up, people were trying to cover their face because the Bible said his face was shining. His face was glowing. And it was because of fellowship. It was because he was hanging out with the source of light. And remember that in the story of Moses or in the Old Testament, these people were still for lack of better terms, on not the best covenant. The covenant was not yet perfected then because Jesus needed to die for the covenant to be perfect. So imagine just what happened to Moses, because Moses was hanging out with God before Jesus. And the Bible said when people saw him, they had to put a veil on him so that they don't look directly into the eyes of Moses, because his eyes were shining, because he had been hanging out with God. And that explains Psalm 4 verse 6. It says, when people are asking, how will things happen? How will I move from point A to point B? How will I be able to have that job? How will I be able to excel at that career? How will I be able to do all the things that God has called me to do? If the light of your face will shine on us, if I will hang out with you, if I will fellowship with you, I will be able to be able to do that, because the force of any light is maintained by the source. And God is our source. We are not light in ourselves. God is the real light. We are just being powered by him. And the more we associate with him, the more we fellowship with him, the more we are going to shine. So how do I obey the force, that command to shine? How do I obey the command that God has given that I should shine? That Matthew chapter 5 verse 14 to 16 says that you are the light of the world, that you are the city set upon a hill. You cannot be hidden. How do I practically obey that command? Because it's a command. God has commanded me to shine. How to obey that command is by staying close to your source. Is by attaching yourself more and more to your source. Is when you are connected and linked to your source. The more you are linked to him, the more connected you are to him, the better you will shine. Because he's really the light. He's really the source. You are just an extension of him. Just like the moon. The moon is not a light at all. The moon is just using the sun to shine. The moon is not a light. It's the sun that shines through the moon. And that is how you and I are. The more connected to this, our God, the more we relate with him, the more we connect ourselves to him, the more we will shine. So if you're asking the question like the psalmist in Psalm 4 verse 6, and you are saying, who will bring us prosperity? Who is going to make us shine? It is the face of Jesus. It is the face of our God. God, the same God who commanded light to shine, is the one that wants to shine through you and I, is the one that wants to shine at work, is the one that wants to shine at home. And if you allow him, you will see him shine. Let's open our Bible to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And just let's take some slight long reading. The Bible says, that which was from the beginning, coming up, John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, these we proclaim concerning the word of life. Verse 2. This life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Verse 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4. We write this to make our joy complete. Verse 5. This is the message we have heard from me and declare to you, God is light. So if you start noticing how he started that statement, this whole conversation, he said, look, We are not telling you things that we read. We are not telling you things that we think about. We are telling you things that we have handled. We have experienced these things ourselves. We are live witnesses. Like they would say in law, that one of your best evidences in any case are people that were there. People that are live witnesses. And in this particular case, this is a live witness. They saw, they held, they handled. And he now said, look, why we are sharing this with you is that we are having fellowship with that life that we receive from him. And the reason we are having that fellowship is because God is light. And we know that for us to have meaningful lives, we also need to shine. And the more we have fellowship with the source of light, we will be able to shine. Now go to verse 5. Say, God is light. 6. No, I think it's 5. Sorry. This is the message we've heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him, there is no darkness. So if I have darkness in my life, if there is any area that looks dark, if there is any area that looks bleak, I know that God is perfect light. I know that God is complete light. So if I have any area of darkness, the more I fellowship, the more I relate, the more I hang out with him, every iota of darkness disappears. That's why I'm declaring before somebody, because you are here, and this is a fellowship with the Father of Light. This is a fellowship with God of the light himself. Every area of darkness, everything called darkness in and around your life, I declare to that thing, let there be light in the name of Jesus. Let's continue to read. So do 5 again. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. There is no darkness. Is complete light. So every time I come to him, I need to understand it's complete light. Anything that looks like darkness, is complete light can eliminate it. It's complete light can take care of it. Then verse 6, it now says, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus' Son purifies us from all sin. Verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and he will forgive us our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. So what the scripture is saying is this. If you want to enjoy the fullness of the light that God carries, which is complete light, which is light without any darkness, you have to fellowship. Now, to fellowship with God, you have to be on the same frequency. You cannot fellowship with God and do anything that you want to do. You cannot fellowship with God and not come to his own terms, because fellowship suggests that you come and meet at the same level. So if God is on a particular level, he wants you to come up to his own level, because God is not going to come down to your own level. So he's saying that if you come to God and you are experiencing darkness, and he shifts it and moves it to the realm of darkness, being you are living in sin. He said, if you are experiencing that, you need to confess, you need to tell God, you need to talk to God, you need to hand over that to God, so that you and God will be on the same level, because you want the light that he carries to affect you, but you cannot just be you in that old relationship without trying to adjust to him. So that's where I'm bringing it tonight. If we want to experience the best of the light that God has for us in this season, we must come to the level of God. We must do things at his own terms. We must follow his own principles. We cannot make the principle, because he's the source. We are the resource. The resource cannot determine what happens at the source. We have to confine to him. He doesn't have to conform to us. We have to change to his level. He doesn't have to change to our own level. It's just like a broadcasting station. A radio that is not getting signal or is not hearing well from the broadcasting station is the radio that will tune itself. It's not the broadcasting station that will change itself. So if there is any disconnect, ladies and gentlemen, it is with you and I. If you are not experiencing the fullness of the light that God carries, it is not God, it is you. And peradventure, it may just be some of the things that you are holding on to. It may just be some of the things that you have not willfully surrendered to God. It may just be some of the things that you have not told God, Lord, this one I know is wrong. Please, can you help me with it? And can I tell you today, like the scripture says, it says God is faithful. God is willing. God wants to help you. God wants to make you that anything that you are struggling with, anything that I am struggling with, anything that is not making the fullness of the light of God to find expression in you, if you come to God honestly, God says he's faithful and just. He'll forgive you. He'll help you with it. I think some of the times, the challenge God has with people is not that they have issues. It's because they don't come to him sincerely with those things. It's because sometimes when people deal with God, they deal with God as if they are dealing with every other human being. We don't come to God as if we are dealing with the one that knows everything. He knows everything and is the one that can help us with everything. So when you come to God, you have to come to him just as you know that with him is light, is the light of the world, and in him there's no darkness. Also, that means that in him there is no, I don't know. In him, there is no gray area that that place is fuzzy to me. No, everything before him is white, is bright, is clear. He can see very clearly. So whenever I come before him, I need to understand that this God knows everything, that this God sees me perfectly, that this God understands everything perfectly. So I come to his level, and I'm sincere with him. God is looking for a lot of people who will be vulnerable with him, who will be sincere with him, who will not be playing church with him. I've seen many times when in church, when people you make an altar call, and some people will just form before God. When you are dealing with God, it's not the time to now be acting cute and acting and forming and trying to be all together. Because God already knows what you are going through. And God, before you came to him, he knows how to fix it. But sometimes he's waiting for you. I'll just wait. If he will swallow his pride and he will admit what he has done. If he will swallow his pride and ask for help. And that's what some of us need to do tonight. We need to ask for help. Because you see, to obey the commandment to shine, you just have to fellowship. And you cannot fellowship if you don't come to the same level. You cannot fellowship if you are on one level and he's on another level. And one of the major things that affects our levels with him is just some of the things that we are holding on to. Some of the things that is against what he has said. There's a catalog of so many of them. And many of the times we know. Many of the times we know. We know that one is not, we're just holding on to that one and God is against that one. We're just doing that one and God is against. And sometimes we convince ourselves, we try to talk ourselves out of it. But God is saying, look, if anybody comes to me and is acting too cute or all put together, he said you are deceiving yourself, you are not deceiving God. And if you are deceiving yourself, you are not going to allow the fullness of the light that God carries. So how can I obey the command to shine? Fellowship. And remove every impediment to fellowship. Remove every impediment to anything that won't allow your interactions with God to be meaningful and effective. And a big part of it can be sin. A big part of it can be holding on to something, can be holding on to habits, can be holding up, making excuses for character. I found even church people, they will. Character flaws that you should ask God, help me work on this, help me deal with this. And you just explain it as personality. That's just my personality. That's just how I am. Anything that violates the word of God, if you cooperate with God, God can help you to change. There's no personality that can violate the word of God, that should violate the word of God. Any personality, anything that you put under my personality, if you bring it under the blood, if you allow the work, the finished work of Christ to affect that, you find out that God will help you with it. And so this evening, as we journey on this light journey, we need to take away impediments. We need to take things that will be in our way, that will not allow us to let that light flow. Impurities, and so that we can fully fellowship, so that we can fully enjoy our Father, and so that fully the light that he supplies can shine forth through us without hindrance. My prayer for you in this season is that the light that God is shining on you, the light that you have received in the face of Jesus, that light will find expression in your world in the name of Jesus. But things can be standing in your way to that fellowship. This evening, I want you to bow down your heads and we're going to talk to God. You are going to be vulnerable with God this evening. I know that in church, sometimes people just say things without thinking through it really deep. But tonight, that's not what you're going to do. You're not going to even speak churchianese or Christianese. You're just going to talk to God as Father. And you're going to ask him and say, Lord, some of you need to mention specific things that are hindering your fellowship, that are hindering your communion, that you know is kind of getting in the way, that is not allowing you to enjoy the fullness of the fellowship that you should have with your Father, so that the commanded shine that you should have will be apparent. You're going to just ask him and say, Father, this one, I want you to help me with this one. I want you to help me with that one. In the name of Jesus, will you speak to God tonight? Yes, Father, tonight, all of us together. Not forming anything, we're not trying to be cute and try to be all put together. We're coming before you and saying, Father, all these things, this character flaw that we have noticed, that we have been pointed out to us, that we have seen repeatedly, we bring it under the blood tonight, because we know these are impediments to fellowship. And when there is no fellowship, we will not be able to shine as commanded. And so, Father, tonight we're asking, oh God, these impediments, these things that may stand and hold us back from enjoying the fullness of the light that you have commanded us to shine, we put it under the blood. You said when we come to you that you are faithful and just to take care of these impediments, to take care of these things. And so that's what we've done tonight. We're doing tonight and putting it under the blood and asking you to help us with that. In the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. You are also still going to pray like this. You are going to ask God that, I want to fellowship with you more and more. Fellowshipping with God involves several things, including you having time with him one-on-one when you are not in church. Coming to church is also part of that fellowship. But you're just going to ask him that, in this season when we are talking about light, help me to deepen my fellowship. Help me to deepen my communion. Help me to deepen my association, connection with you. In the name of Jesus. Will you talk to God this evening? Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, believing and receiving help tonight, that you would deepen our fellowship, our communion, our koinonia with your spirit, with your word, with you, in the name of the Lord. Let it be, Father. Thank you this evening. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Heavenly Father, we just want to say a big thank you tonight. We thank you for your word. And we thank you because we have been commanded to shine. We declare tonight, oh God, that everything that is in our way, impurities, that is not going to make the fullness of that light to shine, we put it under the blood tonight, and we receive grace and power to live above such, in the name of Jesus.